through the pasuk that says Uvo ha'ovdim be'aretz Ashur and nidochim be'aretz Mitzrayim is referring to two types of people. There are people that really are going somewhere in life. They're headed somewhere. They have values. They know where they're supposed to be going. They understand what's important. They're trying, but they get lost along the way. They're oved, like hashavat aveda, like a lost object. So they're ovdim. They got lost along the way. Sometimes you get lost along the way. What happens when you get lost along the way? I don't know. You're on your phone. You missed the exit. Now I have no clue where I am. What?
It's bad.
And you know, like when you're on your ways, and it said like you're 3 minutes away. All of a sudden, you miss a lane. Okay, 45 minutes. You know, because you have to go down there. And there's nowhere to turn around. So you could be oved be'aretz Ashur. Ashur represents the land of confusion. Melech Ashur is mevalbel et kol ha'umot. He confused everything. He caused a tremendous amount of distraction and confusion. No one knew where they were coming or going anymore. So Ashur represents the land of the confusion, of confused people. So, Avdim are the people that are lost in life. They're lost because they don't know. They know where they want to go, but they're lost on their way to get there. They're lost on their way to get there. This is the challenge of the Oved. Okay? The Oved is lost. The Oved doesn't know exactly where he is on his path, even though he's trying to get somewhere. That's the Oved. But then, that's one type of person.
So I'll say it again, he's lost?
He's going somewhere. He has a path. He has a direction in life. But he got distracted. He got lost along the way.
Most of us like in this group? Or?
I think so. Avdim.
Avdim
is...
Avdim.
The pasuk is Avdim. But it means... No, it's an Aleph. Like an Aveda. Hashavat Aveda.
Lost object.
But he said, but then there's Anidachim. The disconnected one. The Nidachim, they find themselves in Mitzrayim. They don't live for anything of meaning altogether. These are people that are totally disconnected, totally lazy, just want to have fun, just want to have a good time.
I know a few of those.
What?
I know a few of those.
So,
I have a couple in my house.
So, to get these guys interested is a whole different story. Right? Because they're not really interested. So, the first category, they're really okay. They're going somewhere. They literally got caught up, they got distracted. So, the day of Rosh Hashanah can serve as the day to recalibrate. What about the nidachim? What about the people who are just floating away? They're just going and going. They're not even lost, because lost indicates that you're trying to get somewhere, but you got distracted and got lost along the way. The nidachim represents...
Just driving aimlessly.
Just driving along aimlessly. On the highway, whatever. What?
Going
with the flow. No plan.
No plan.
Nowhere going. Not going. Having fun, wake up in the morning, what's for breakfast, whatever. Nothing, right? So, the chidush is that Rosh Hashanah helps those people too. Those people also have hope on Rosh Hashanah, because the shofar has the ability to strike the chord with everybody, because everybody deep down, even the nidachim, feel a connection to these days. And you come in, you read the machzor, you hear the shofar. For some people, what the shofar can do is, one second, I'm getting too caught up with things that are not important. I'm getting too distracted. But for some people, the shofar actually has to give them that direction in life. But even for those people, that's the chidush that the Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, that the nidochim be'aretz Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim indicates the world of the Tava, the world of all the lowest of the low, and that's what they're involved in, or they're involved in all sorts of other things. And for them, the Rosh Hashanah can wake them up as well. So it's important to know that no matter where a person is, there's what to tap into in the Rosh Hashanah, there's what to connect to that can recalibrate a person and give that person even a direction that they didn't have in the first place. So if you have a direction in life you got and you forgot it along the way, that's one thing. There's another element to it, which is even just reminding us that there is a direction to be had. There is a direction to go. That's another part of Rosh Hashanah and the shofar. So we can't, we have to, the Rosh Hashanah speaks to everybody. Every Jew has a place in Rosh Hashanah where they should be able to feel connected.
To tap in.
So that's just what I saw from a Tzaddik. I think it's a very powerful idea.
Is it a shofar or a contract for the
shofar?
So
the question is, this year there's no shofar the first day.
But they have to show up.
Because, you mean, what about those that don't show up?
I mean, if there's a home, fishing.
I understood like more the way that you're describing it, and I know you weren't describing it this way. The Nidachim, I thought of them as the ones that don't show up.
Right, and so that I think Hashem has to give them siyata d'shmaya.
To show up.
That.
For some people, think to show up, they think siyata d'shmaya.
Right. You know, but if someone that's not even showing up, so for them, there's also, of course, oftentimes you'll have the siyata d'shmaya. A story where they just bumped into someone, they landed, and they were brought into shul, and the rest is history. Somehow or other, they have to be able to be brought in.
What? Yeah, merit.
Right.
Everyone has a story how they ended up in this table here.
Right.
It's not
by chance.
It's not like a perfect cutting, born perfect, everything this.
No. There's a story, and there's a hashgacha pratis, and there's, how everyone ends up where they are, and how Hashem sends that shofar to the person. See, here's the other thing, is that this year there's no shofar.
What's the problem?
On the first day. So I saw far from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv says that there's a medrash. The Gemara actually in Pirkei Avot says that every single day there's heavenly voices that come out and say, Bat Kol Yotzet, and the Bat Kol Set. There's so many things out there. So the question becomes, why don't we hear them? And the answer is that the shofar is external, but sometimes it's more powerful when we hear the voice from the inside. So I think that the replacement for the shofar is knowing that we're not having a shofar. We have to find the voice from within ourselves. And sometimes that's even more powerful because then it's not external anymore. So you come into the day of Rosh Hashanah, you're missing the shofar. You're like, 1 second, I got to do it myself. Because
I understand that we're missing the shofar though, right? If you think about it, because...
It's very
hard. Right, huh?
Yeah.
And not carrying and a reshoot, whatever. It's almost a devarah around the world today. It's whatever.
Right.
It's a gedder. It's a fence.
Yes.
So we're over.
Yeah. Okay, but
a serious mitzvah that we need to have a good year.
Correct.
To
protect Shabbos.
Yeah. So
okay, but that means it shows you.
How important Shabbat.
Yes,
Shabbos.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know the famous mashal. I wasn't going to talk about this, but once you brought it up, it's unbelievable, and it's a great, fabulous idea. The Aruch Liner, writes, and he said the years in history that Shabbat fell on Rosh Hashanah were historically either very good years or historically very tragic years.
That's interesting.
They were usually not just another year. This is what he writes. I don't know, he took stock of it, but this is he writes. So he says, what's pshat? He says, a gevaldika pshat. He says that there was a mushal, there was somebody, I'm trying to remember the mushal exactly, okay? But basically, there was a guy, let's say it like this, I don't know if this is exactly the way he says it, but there's a guy who got in trouble with the... He got in trouble with the government, whatever it is. What?
ICE, maybe.
He got in trouble with the government. He was facing some sort of challenge in the government, in court, whatever. And they're going back and forth. Then he realizes, 1 second, this guy, this judge, I actually know this judge. I actually know this judge. Because I took his daughter in when she needed. She was on the street, and no one was going to take her. I took her in. I took care of her. So he basically starts telling the judge, by any chance, is that girl your daughter? Yeah. He says, well, remember the story? Well, I took her in.
It was me.
So the guy's like, seriously, whoa. So he starts thinking about the Rachmanis. Wow, this guy took, and he's pulling out this card. He's pulling out the card of like, listen, how could you do this to me? This is what I you know, and he's using that, you know. So they say, you know what? Just to verify the story, let's bring in the daughter. They bring in the daughter, and the daughter says, my dad, save me from this guy. This guy beats me. This guy takes advantage of me. This guy bosses me around. He took me to his house. I'm just a slave. He doesn't treat me properly. Okay. So the guy's like, this is you trying to use for your protect. This chus you were trying to use because you protected him. You brought in my daughter. Look what you did to her. So he gets even extra, more angry. Right? So essentially what the Aruch HaNer says, the Mashal is, he says, we go into Rosh Hashanah, we say, Hashem, we don't have shofar. You don't want to shofar? Because we're protecting Shabbos. Okay. We're so careful with Shabbos. So let the schus of the Shabbos be our schus. So he says, you care so much about Shabbos. You care so much about protecting the holiest day of the week, of Shabbos, so much we can learn from Shabbos. Well, you know what? And that's chut, that's bigger than the shofar. Because you're so careful with the Shabbos. Right? So what happens? And then, the first Shabbos of the year, Shabbos looks like a disaster. We don't treat it properly. So we're not giving the proper kavod to Shabbos. So you try to use Shabbos as a schut, and then you go ahead the rest of the year and you disgrace Shabbos. It doesn't work. If you want to use the Shabbos as a schus, then you have to make sure that the Shabbatot of the year match the schut of the Shabbat that you tried to proclaim on Rosh Hashanah. That's what he said. So he said, on years that the Jewish people took it upon themselves to be extra careful on Shabbos,
then
the whole year they were careful with Shabbos, so the schus of the Shabbos outweighs the schus of the shofar. It's even greater than the schus of the shofar, really. Because now we brought up the schus of Shabbos and said, because of the schus of Shabbos, we gave up our schus of the shofar. So Hashem says, okay, and He protects us even more in the schus of the Shabbos. So those were good years.
Was there ever a time they blew the shofar on Shabbat?
In the Beis HaMikdash.
After that, no.
But in the years that...
They made the HaMikdash, they did everything you cannot do on Shabbos.
Yeah.
They had music, they had barbecue, they had shchita. I mean, it's crazy. The Kohen Gadol wore shatnez. I mean...
Right, because I guess when you're in there, you know. But the years, he says, that during the rest of the year, the Jewish people were not that careful about Shabbos, then it ended up being that it was a big problem for them, that they tried to use the Shabbos as their zechut, and then ended up backfiring. So therefore, it's important on these years to take an extra careful, maybe on Rosh Hashanah, to make a certain Kabbalah about Shabbos. Make a certain, to accept something that's relevant to Shabbos. Because when we don't have Shabbos, when we don't have the shofar due to Shabbos, we have to make sure that year we're keeping Shabbos properly.
I think Rabbi Munster gave the same idea yesterday.
Yeah?
I didn't hear it, but I heard this was the idea. The antidote to no shofar is more Shabbos, better Shabbos.
Exactly. So therefore, it's important these types of years to accept upon oneself something extra in Shabbos. Being more careful with the tefillot, being more careful with certain, whatever it is, what we everyone knows their own threshold, where they're at. But to take on something extra that has relevant to Shabbos is significant in this type of year. Okay, that's.
I got one for Joel.
What?
I got one for Joel Dahan. Take upon yourself on Shabbat to blow the shofar the next day. Very powerful.
You need to care? Oh, yeah? Wow. Okay, so you have to have all that in mind that it gets into the lave of the people, attacks the lave of the people. Okay, so really the title of the shir was a third topic. It wasn't the nidachim, it wasn't the shofar, and it wasn't the Shabbos. It was really a third thing. Okay, okay. Now where do you,
these are good so far.
Yeah, these are good points. Right. Where do two thirds finish the sushi? So we still gotta make sure that we have time for the shir. So. The topic really was about our approach to the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. Now, why is this a interesting topic? Because I think the approach that we have to a day of Rosh Hashanah doesn't really match the approach which is presented in the Machzor itself.
Okay.
Let me explain. When you tell, we tell someone, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot at stake. Rosh Hashanah, our next year is being decided. Rosh Hashanah, we're scared that, you know, are we going to have the parnasah for the year? Are we going to have the nachat from our children? Are we going to have the simcha? Are we going to have the shalom bayit? Are we going to have health? Are we going to have all those things that we need for our children, for our families, for our community, etc.? Jewish people, safety, Israel. There's a lot at stake. So you would think it's a tremendous day of prayer. It's a tremendous day of asking and making sure that, you know, Hashem judges us favorably, etc. And yet, in the Maghzor, we don't mention any of that. In the Maghzor, very little about that. In the Maghzor, primarily what we talk about is the power of Hashem in the world.
Yeah.
Hashem is the kingship. Hashem is the melech. Hashem is the ruler. Hashem rules over the world. Hashem created the world. Hashem is the only ruler over the world. Hashem remembers what's going on. What?
Praising Him.
Praising Hashem. And it's the thing that we don't even think about and talk about our own needs. To the point that the Zohar HaKadosh says, someone that talks about their own needs on Rosh Hashanah is like, hav-hav. So this is the big conflict that everyone faces. A lot of Mefarshim talk about it. And I've heard this from many, many, since I was in yeshiva, this is always the question.
It's always the question.
It's always the question. And this year I heard a great approach to this. I think it's one of the first times I actually had an approach that really works. In all the Mefarshim, all the Mefarshim.
Because on one hand, you're begging for your life to have a good life. On the other hand, you have to praise God as the king because it's all about his malkut, and that's like the focus. Like it's his coronation,
right.
annual coronation.
Right.
So
the typical approach
is this annual.
Exactly, we've talked about that.
That's
right?
A great one.
The company renewal. So we've talked about the fact where the zchut that I have of giving up on myself for the king, that is the zchut for having a good year.
Sounds
that's good. But this approach is a different approach. It's a different way. It's a different approach. The Gemara says that kol shana sherasha b'tchila mitasheret besofa. A year that you approach Rosh Hashanah as a rush is a poor person. A year that you approach Rosh Hashanah as a poor person, at the end will be good. So the idea is as follows. Okay, so there's two ways to approach prayer in general. And there's and our needs. One way is the following. I need a job. I have a pretty good job lined up. I have a good interview lined up. I have a pretty good resume. I usually make a pretty decent impression when I walk into a room. And I think I got this.
We all agree.
I have to convince you, right? And not only that, the boss is my sister-in-law's like his cousin. So I need the job, and like Hashem, you could like WD-40, like make sure it goes smooth. I don't want to mess up. The guy could really, maybe he has someone that's his other favorite sister-in-law's third cousin. Like, I don't know who has a better... You know, I want to make sure, like, I'm good, got my back, let me just make sure I get this, right?
So that's one approach.
That's one approach. Where we come to Hashem and basically say, fill in the gaps, you know, this is where, like, I have my job, I have my clients,
I need
a little bit more, and I know, and not only I need you, you could also mess it up if you wanted to, that I know for sure.
So you know who's the boss. you know it's Hashem who makes the final call, but you're going in, like,
right.
confident.
But, correct.
Or maintain what you have.
What?
Maintain what you already
right.
have.
Right, I already have, but then there's a guy that, which I'm dealing with now, a guy, I have this guy. No, I'm serious.
He's starving. Wife.
It's. I have nothing.
Yeah.
I just left my wife after my kids on the West Coast. I'm here myself. I have no training. I have no way of doing anything. I have no money. I don't even know where to go to school because I can't even afford to pay for food. I borrowed money for rent. I have nothing going for me. So, I don't even know. If I were to want to get a job, I don't even know what type of job I would want to get. And I don't have anything. So when I'm asking for help, I'm asking because there's nowhere else for me to turn. I have nothing going for me that I can rely on.
That's strong.
Huh?
That's also strong.
Yeah.
That maybe that's very what, strong. It's completely relying on Hashem. That's like, our, it's like completely that, broken.
This is
a completely broken person.
This is a completely broken person where, and the more I hear this guy's story, by the way, I'm thinking about it like, this is, right? He's like, help me get a job. He's coming to me as if like I can help. I can't help him really. But the point is, this is a rush. This is someone, a rush, an impoverished person. I'm not saying you have to be a Nebuch, but that's what this guy is, right? Yeah. And I don't have anywhere to turn. So why am I turning to you? Because you're the only one that can help.
Get me out of this. There's no way to get out of this.
I don't even know where to get out of it. It's not like I need pull to for this. I just need help. There's nothing I can do on my own without you getting it done for me.
It's like the guy who doesn't even have like a place to take a shower for the, even if you got a job, he needs to like go have a shower before. Right. Like he doesn't
right.
have a place.
Right. That's like even that. If you would get me an interview, I don't even know how I'd show up to the interview.
Yeah, like,
I can't even afford the Uber to get to the interview.
Right.
So like I got nothing. Okay? What? So what's a rush? What's a rush? A rush is that person. A rush is a poor person. Not just poor. The idea is, in a person comes on Rosh Hashanah in the first method.
Which sounds...
It's okay.
It sounds like...
In the most of us.
God has got a house. God, like, whatever. Right. He always needs a little more. He's missing, but he has already, like...
And he's pretty... Really, what's happening...
He has clothing on his body.
The Zohar says... Like, it's not so, but the Zohar HaKadosh says, that guy, if his attitude is coming to Hashem, can you just tie up some loose ends, block up this, you know, and that could... It's a little sticky over there. I have a little competition over there. Let's clean up some of my loose ends.
Just make sure it goes
so,
smooth. Yeah.
So that's a chutzpah to come on Rosh Hashanah. That's what you come on Rosh Hashanah. You're busy with your little problem, your little things here and there. This is the day of the kingdom, right? We worry about your issues later, but like now you focus on Hashem. That's not the way to pray on Rosh Hashanah. But if the person comes with the first malach and he says, "I'm a rush," really, in reality, coming to the new year, I don't have really everything is from Hashem. We have to come to that realization that really, in reality, everything's from Hashem. And I need Hashem to give it to me again.
Isn't it a quick toivah that you don't recognize?
No, I'm not saying to
that.
Be depressed, but I'm saying no, is to come depressed. To a realization that really what I have is from Hashem completely. So I should really have the attitude when I come to ask, I should be as desperate as the other guy. I should be as, you know, coming with an understanding that I need you as much as the other guy. I need you because you're the only one that can give me all of it. So someone that comes with that attitude is allowed to pray on Rosh Hashanah.
Is allowed to. You pray for what?
For himself. Because when I'm coming there, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not saying Hashem just... I'm saying everything I have and everything I need, you're the only address I could possibly go. I have nowhere else to go.
It can be dependent like a kid to and his father.
Yes.
Instead of like being desperate, like you're saying.
No, I'm not saying be desperate, right? I'm not saying desperate or sad. I'm saying come to that realization that till now it's really been you that's supporting me.
If
and it's all you.
If a person comes like the first guy, then he should just not ask and just pray.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how he, exactly. So, is that bad?
I'm not saying it's bad. If you can't do it.
But you said the Tefillah doesn't even talk about asking for things.
Exactly.
I'm trying to explain
what is the proper way. Now, not all of us are holding by doing proper, so now you have to figure out what to do. My Rebbeim always said, it's more important to be honest with yourself than to do the Zohar. So if the only way you're going to... Don't fool yourself. Like, oh, I'm only thinking about Hashem. No, you're not. You're thinking about yourself the whole time. So if you're going to think about yourself the whole time and that's how you think about it, so do that. Because you've got to be honest with yourself. That's more important than anything, is don't fool yourself out of, you know... I agree. But now we're talking about the ideal.
The top of the top is to get to...
To get to the point where we can view ourselves as a rush.
I need a bunch of stuff and I know you're the only one who can do it because
exactly.
I don't even have a place to shower.
Exactly. And the only reason I do, actually, is because you gave it to me. You already
and
took care of it last year. It's because you took care of it last year already for me.
And you can take that away also.
Yeah. So this is the type of prayer that you're allowed to do Rosh Hashanah. That's what I'm saying. The new approach. Adam, new approach.
it's
heavy.
It's
so listen to this. Listen to this part. We say the Haftorah, first day, Rosh Hashanah. We say the Haftorah of Chana. Chana, pray to have a child. And the Chazal say that she was answered on Rosh Hashanah. So we say that Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah. Chana nifkida b'Rosh Hashanah. Now let's read the psukim. Chana was married to Elkanah. Elkanah was her husband. Elkanah had two wives, Penina and Chana. Penina has 10 children, Chana has no children. Now, that means they must have been married for a while. All of a sudden, one day in the Navi, Chana starts praying, she's answered. Why today she was answered and till now she wasn't?
She was answered Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah. But it wasn't the first Rosh Hashanah of their marriage. Remember, Penina had 10 children. That means they were married for quite a while. So, like, what happened? So, Pshat is unbelievable, Pshat. Pshat is like this. Chana, in the back of her mind, thinks to herself, you know what? My husband's a big tzaddik. My husband's Elkanah. He's a Navi. He's a prophet. He's davening for us also. Hashem's not going to let him be stranded, you know, with no kids. And so she felt, to a certain degree, she's relying on Elkanah, his tefillah, like
I have a rich uncle. Like, we're never going to be like
that. We're never going to be that bad. So I have, okay, what happens that day? You read the Navi. That day, Elkanah comes to her and says, why are you so sad? I know that Penina has 10 children, but am I not as good for you as 10 children? You know what Chana hears him saying?
I can't do it.
You're not getting kids. But at least you have me.
That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, right? So now
she goes to cry her heart out to God.
Exactly.
Now
she says, I don't have anything anymore. By myself. He doesn't care about me. He has his 10 kids with the other wife.
Oh, it's the same. He's the husband of both wives.
Yes.
God, I missed it. Sorry.
Yeah. He has his 10 kids over there. He's telling me, Chana, don't worry about it. You have me. He's telling me, that's it. You're on your own. Chana realizes, if I'm on my own, I can't count on anything. All I have to do is cry my heart out to Hashem. That's the prayer of Rosh Hashanah. When you realize you're on your own, there's nothing you could do about it. It's no Rosh Uncle, and there's not even a husband that's going to be there for you. Because he's not feeling my pain. Even my husband doesn't feel my pain. So the only way to go is to go up to Hashem. That's the prayer of Rosh Hashanah, and she's answered on Rosh Hashanah. So that is what Chazal are saying. Kol Shana Sherasha B'Tchilata. If a person can approach Rosh Hashanah with a certain sense, now again, I'm not saying to be depressed, I'm not saying to be sad, I'm not saying to feel Kafui Tov, everything we have.
We say we get a haircut, we come with the clothes.
That's a certain confidence. But the confidence.
It doesn't sound like a broken guy who doesn't have to use the shower.
The confidence is because the one person that can help me has helped me before. Not because I'm confident, because.
You help me, I'm sure you help
not because
me.
I'm that rich. There's nothing interview. You could do.
Huh? You prepare for the interview.
For the interview.
So it's a confidence in the love that Hashem has for us. That's the confidence.
That is still a certain confidence. Like, he's my uncle. I know I'm going
to... But we're talking about... It's not a separate connection. It's the connection with the king himself. That's the way you come. That's the way you approach it. So that prayer with the recognition that I have nowhere to turn, that's not a contradiction to the king, to being Mamlech Hashem, to saying Hashem is the king. The opposite, to the contrary. That's a declaration that you're the only one that controls it. That's not a conflict with Rosh Hashanah. That is actually an expression of Rosh Hashanah. The more we can say to ourselves, Hashem, not only just thank you for what I have, but thank you because I wouldn't have it if it weren't for you. And therefore, I'm asking for more. That is the prayer that's appropriate to be said on Rosh Hashanah. Right? So he said...
very different twist.
What?
It's a very, very different twist.
It's it's a deep thing, but I think it fits right into the words of Chazal. Yes. And the Vort of the Chana Vort is an amazing Vort. He actually said, I heard this Vort from someone, he said that it says that Tzara, Chana, and Rachel, I think. Sarah and Chana for sure. No, it doesn't say Rivka. It says Sarah and Chana, so the one third, were redeemed, were answered on Rosh Hashanah. So he says, what about Rivka? What about Rivka? So he says, interestingly, he says, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana. He says, because all three of them, their husband, had children from someone else. So they were in this position where they were on their own.
Unlike Rivka.
Rivka, Yitzchak also didn't have kids.
But he prayed.
He prayed just as much as she. So she never felt that sense
of
being alone. Because she had Yitzchak.
So she didn't answer?
Yitzchak
felt her prayer. That's not Rosh Hashanah prayer. That's during the year.
Yitzchak felt her praying that he was praying with her the same level.
Right. So that prayer is great for the rest of the year, but that wasn't answered on Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah, the prayer has to be the prayer that there's nothing else.
It only worked because she had a realization that their husband's not going to have his chutz.
That's Chana and Sarah, yeah. Right? That's the concept. And there's a story of Shimshon Pinkus. I've said it over before. He said that a guy comes over to him and says, one of these stories, Rabbi, we need to bless a bracha. We have no children. So he says, we're asking you a bracha. Davin said, Davin. What do you think? Of course I've Davin. Obviously. So he said, no, you don't know what I mean. I mean,
Davin.
So he says, Rabbi, come on. Obviously, it's the first thing I do. He said, no, I'm going to take you to a special place. And there you're going to have a lot of kavana. So he says, really? Yeah. Come with me in the car. So I don't know if you know where Shimshon Pinkus lives. He lives in Ofakim. Ofakim is deep in the Negev in the south, past Be'er Sheva, nowhere.
It's near Gaza.
It was part of the whole October 7th story. Yeah, there's a whole crazy miracles there. But anyway, so because it's all from. It's all from that community. He was the chief rabbi of the community, and they were totally saved. It's a crazy story there, what happened. Anyway, he lives in Ofakim.
No.
So he says, come with me in the car, I'm going to take you to a special place to pray. So he thinks he's going to take him to a caver of a big tzaddik, to a big shul, a special place.
He's into whose house? The guy who's asking for kids?
The guy that's asking for kids is in Shimshon Pinkus' house. Shimshon Pinkus says, I'm going to take, you've never prayed the way I'm talking about, okay? Right. Come with me in the car, meet me at my house at midnight.
At whose house?
At my house, or Pinkus. Meet me at my house, and I'm going to take you somewhere you've never gone before to pray.
So he says, that's a good place for you to pray.
This is going to be cool. This is going
to
be like...
He takes him back to his house?
No, it isn't. No. So he says, he thinks it's going to be like a kever, a ma'ayan, somewhere, like a cool place.
Spiritual.
So in Ofakim is in the middle of the desert, by Gaza, right? They drive a half hour out of the city. Pitch dark. You can't see nothing.
All you see is shooting stars.
Yeah, literally. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. And this is a half hour out of the closest city. And he says, okay, here it is. Let me hear this. Yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere. And you're by yourself. Get out. He drops him off. He says, I'll be back in a half hour.
Get out of the car, I'll be right back. Drives off. Now pray for your life.
Yeah. He said, this is the prayer of a guy that realizes that he has nothing except for Hashem. That said, I'm by myself.
Scary.
He comes back.
Scorpion, snakes, the coyotes, you hear all the stuff.
He comes back. The guy's drenched head to toe from tear, from crying out. He said, right, and he got back in the car. He's like, yeah, I never prayed before. And that prayer, he was answered. That was when Pinkus' story. Crazy story. but that is the feel of Rosh Hashanah. That is what they want from Rosh Hashanah. So, again... Now Adam's asking. Well, I'm not there. I'm not there.
Do you want us to have tables?
Hashem, we're lucky to have tables.
No more tables.
Why would we have chairs?
We don't need chairs. We should be sitting on a couch.
So if we're thinking to ourselves, Hashem is a king, and I'm not going to think about my own needs. Okay, so that's one mahalach. But if we could actually get to this point of realizing everything is Hashem, the opposite, that is a proper prayer of Rosh Hashanah. So, like I said, this is the question everyone asks every year. I think there's a new approach. It's a strong approach, but it gets to the point of it.
You're saying, and if you can't get to that, just...
Okay, so then you have to go back to the regular approach. That you got to either be mavatar yourself...
But to achieve that without getting into depression...
It takes work. No, not pressure. Not depression.
But, I mean, like... I think borderline...
if you realize that Hashem controls everything, but we haven't in with him.
But that's the antidote to the depression.
Exactly. The antidote is the confidence that he loves us and wants it for us.
But you got to get down so low to the point in order to actually... Realize. Go to the antidote.
Exactly. The Briskarov says that, are we supposed to be confident on Rosh Hashanah, like we said? Or are we supposed to have fear? Because you talk about these conflicting feelings. It's exactly what you said. Briskarov said, if you have confidence without fear, it's not confidence and it's not fear. It's just being oblivious. Right? Mm-hmm. The confidence is only considered bitachon if you know what's at stake. You understand the depths of it, and at that point you say, you know, but I have confidence. So I think that's the point. The point is, get down to that level, but don't get depressed. Either I would think to the contrary, but I have what to rely on, even though I have nothing of my own, meaning everything I have is from Hashem. And that's the prayer for Rosh Hashanah. If we get to that prayer, that's where the bitachon kicks in. That's where the prayers of Rosh Hashanah kick in, and that is Hashem pakad et tzara, Hashem pakad et eschana. Chana is the prayer of Rosh Hashanah is the prayer of Chana. That's what we say. So I think that this may be an approach of how do we balance all the parts, and if we have that in mind, Rosh Hashanah, we could take advantage of the day. And we could be zocher that ask for what we need, and the asking for what we need is an expression of the Malchut of Hashem. It's not a contradiction to the Malchut of Hashem. It's an expression of it, because it tells us, Hashem, you're the only one that can give it to us. So, you know, with that in mind, we can have Ketiv Achtam Mitra Tova, Shana Tova, and Hashem should listen to all of our prayers, Miyat Hashem, and take us higher and higher.
Thank you. I want to hear this recording again.